Hey guys, welcome to Talking to the Wall. Welcome to episode 2. Thank you for listening. I am your host, Angel. And today's episode, we're going to be covering a little bit about fitness, health, and overall wellness, not only during COVID, but just around your life and trying to improve that. And today's special guest, I have another special guest for episode 2. I know I'm amazing. And I would like to welcome one of my good friends from the last 5-6 years. We can welcome Ray Coons.
Hey. Silky smooth intro.
Yeah, silky smooth. I like that. So first of all, I just kind of, how's your quarantine been? How's this the last few months been with trying to maintain fitness, maintain your health during all these gym closures?
That has been a bit of a challenge just because the setup we have at the house is, it's pretty basic, but I know I did splurge last year on something called a Peloton, if any of you know what that is. Bought it for the girlfriend.
Oh, man, Peloton. Wow, that set you back a few thousand.
but it's actually been really helpful, especially during this time, just because there is no gyms opening. And, you know, if you're scared about going outside or anything like that, it has been something that has been helping, you know, with the cardio and then trying to keep yourself on track as far as like, oh, I got to get on this thing every day. And it's also very helpful that it is like 10 feet from the room. So it is very nice. Someone like myself, I lift heavy weights, not like powerlifter status, but, you know, from like where I used to be, it's nowhere near the same anymore. So that's been a struggle, but I still get it in every day, whether it's lifting weights, cardio like that, or especially this last months or whatever, we've been hiking a lot. And I know we took you and the wifey out too.
That was treacherous. I didn't realize what I said yes to, but yeah, initially I think what originally sparked my interest, I was like, oh, it'll be a nice picture for the Instagram. Let's go, you know, 8 miles, 9 miles, nothing. Why would that matter?
Yeah. You forget that the first like 5 miles are nothing but incline.
And that's my worst enemy, guys. Yeah, Trust me, guys. Incline is my worst enemy. If it's like 10 miles straight, no incline, I'm okay with it. I'll do what I need to do. But throw an incline, and I'm a little baby girl. So
yeah, if anybody's familiar with Mount Baldy, we went up the Skeet Hut route. So it is straight incline all the way up. We got a break at Skeet Hut and took a little break. And after that, we just chugged on up and kept climbing up. And I'm super proud of you guys. It took a long time, but
yeah, no, you guys made it. And I was super impressed. I think the one thing that was really surprising from that whole hike was the community of hikers and how tight-knit the community is with you guys.
Yes.
I didn't realize that, like, I had random people I have never met just like, hey, you look like you're on one, keep going. Yes. You can do this.
Yes.
And then handed me a brand new, like, here's a brand new water.
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, I don't know you, but thank you. And that kind of just like motivated me up the mountain, I was completely shocked.
The hiking community is it's pretty supportive out there. Especially people that are frequent locals, and they're out there all the time, either whether trail runners just running up the mountain or things like that. They're always going to be down to, you know, they're like, oh, give you like a little bit of encouragement. Like, oh, you're almost there. Like, you just keep going. Like, don't stop. You know, just if you need to slow down, but just keep those legs moving. Cause you know, the moment you stop, it's going to be hard to continue to keep that going. And that's kind of what we kept trying to drive into you and to Dan, is like, keep going.
It was little spurs. Like there was one time, I think we were going up, there was this part of the mountain where it was, well, the back end as well as Devil's Backbone, but the front start of it where there was just pure pebbles, pure rocks, and accidentally slipped and just like ate my knee and then got up before you turned around. And I was like, oh no, come on. This is where I take my energy and just being like, no, I didn't feel anything. Let's keep going. Let's keep the momentum going.
Eating it on the trail is kind of just like, it's your badge of honor. Everybody eats it at some point. It's just, you know, you got to make sure that you're trying to be as careful as you can so you don't get super injured. But, you know, some slips here and there, they're going to happen. I mean, I even ate it at the end of that trail, running down some super, you know, slick gravel, and then just like caught a bad foothold and twisted my ankle. And luckily, it was at the very end, so it wasn't,
you know, too bad.
Yeah, it didn't ruin the entire hike for me, but it was, you know, I was like, oh, come on. You've been doing
this for how many years? And I think it was the one thing that I was like, I didn't realize we were going to be doing it on the hottest day of the summer.
We got so sunburned.
We got sunburned, and that was my first experiencing like sunburn and actually peeling.
Yeah.
Like me being Mexican and same. Being able to.
You think like,
oh, you're I'm like, invincible. No, I'm good. Like, no, exactly.
I just
get really dark. And my last trip that I did to Mexico, I just got really dark. I was just like, oh, okay, I didn't get sunburned, yeah. whatever. I just got really dark. I expected the same thing, but
nope.
The sun just hit differently on top yeah. of 8, 9, 10,000 elevation. And it was just melting me.
Yeah, you forget that you're super exposed out there in the sun, especially, you know, starting off the elevation that we're at, like 8,000, and then, you know, you're getting up to 10,000 and some change elevation, and there's no real trees at the summit, and you're just getting beat down by the sun, and you apply as much sunscreen as you can and try and mitigate, you know, as much of the damage to your skin, but you're going to come out, especially for how long we were up there for.
We were up there 6-7 hours.
Yeah.
So what originally sparked your interest in fitness? Because I've known you close to 7 years now, 6-7 years.
Bro, that thing's way longer than that.
When I first met you, you were, you know, skinny, scrawny little guy. And, you know, obviously we didn't really talk much, and you still don't talk too much right now. But just like, what originally kind of motivated you to be like, I don't want this look for myself, and kind of just pushed you into your basically weightlifting fitness journey?
So it's been a couple of different things. I was always that skinny kid, like growing up in like high school, and was like, you know, like 135, but you know, doing a lot of like skateboard and things like that to at least like stay like active, but I wasn't really into like getting strong or anything like that. That actually didn't happen until, man, I want to say like 2008, 2009. I was like starting to go to the gym. But even then, I wasn't pushing super hard. It was just like, you know, I don't want to skate anymore because I was terrible at it. But I still wanted to try and keep active. And I had a friend that was going to the gym. He's like, oh, I'm going to come. Let's go. We're going to go crush it. And I would like half-ass my workouts with them. And I'd be sore, but it wasn't like I wasn't trying to put on bulk or anything. So it didn't really start to actually like become something really important to me until, I want to say, man, I know it was Diana's birthday. I think we were out there at the perch, and I remember you guys taking a picture of me and Shelly, and I just remember like that picture, like, oh my god, I've let myself go. And I just looked at the picture, I was in that dress shirt, and then like you can see like I had like man boobs and like my face was fat, and I was just like, no, this is no baby, what are you doing? Like, you used to be so thin. And then I got right back on it, got to the gym, dropped that weight again, and then it was like I was right back down to square one. I was like, cool, I'm super skinny, but
like it's adding some muscle weight.
I was like, okay, well, let's try and do this like legit. Let's try and like really start lifting heavy, and followed no plan whatsoever. It was basically just like total bro science. Just, you know, you want to get big,
lift heavy
and eat everything. Like, eat just
everything,
eat
all so, the protein you can.
Dude, I oh my god, what's it called? It was just like, I just ate everything in sight. It's like, you see food, like, cool, I'm gonna eat it. Large pizza, cool, I'm gonna eat it. And then like go try and like lift weights. And yeah, I put on some size, like I put on a decent amount of size, but I felt like crap. I felt like straight garbage because I was eating bad. It was just like, cool, I'm a carb load, I'm gonna eat this, I'm gonna eat that. Cool, burgers, you know, 3x3s, you know, animal style fries, and, you know, like not too many like sweets and stuff, but it was just like, man, I'm gonna eat everything inside, like just whatever.
And that's me normal, but I'm not bulky.
I mean, you know, it did help. Like, I got up to like, I don't know, I was like 140, like around, like when I started, like my lowest when I started lifting weights, and then I was like 170, and then I started like 175, like 180, and then I just got really tired of feeling like crap, just because I knew my diet was crap, and so I started eating a little more clean. Less carbs, you know, less junk food, less pizza and like all that other stuff, less beer. And then I think my heaviest was earlier this year. I was got back from New York. It was around 203.
And that's the heaviest you've ever been?
That is the heaviest I've ever been in my entire life.
Did you physically feel heavy, or was it just like,
yeah,
you felt it?
You can feel like when you're like that sort of weight, like it's weird. You just feel like you're like, ugh, like you're just sluggish. but like I was still like climbing mountains and stuff. Like I was still doing, so I was still doing like Mount Whitney, like at that weight, like I was like 200. So like just climbing like a 14,000 mountain, highest peak in the lower 48 states, you know. I was like, cool, but I was like super heavy. Like I had a ton of muscle mass, but I was just like, ugh, like just being like that size. And so
and trying to maintain that
and size. Trying to maintain
that size is not easy.
Sucked. I was just like, cool, I'm gonna eat like this meal. I eat like four meals a day, and I was on like a, you know, protein shake, and you know, just like kept lifting heavy, kept, you know, pushing, you know, 300 pounds, you know, bench, and then deadlifting 405, and then, you know, squatting heavy, and just like whatever, man, like I'm just gonna keep getting heavy as long as I can keep getting stronger. And then eventually I plateaued, and I was just like, ugh. I was like, okay, well, let's cut. Let's just start cutting. And that's kind of been like my journey from like February until now, is mainly just been trying to cut weight but not lose too much strength.
And that leads me to my next subject, is your diet. I know that towards, before this whole quarantine and pandemic officially got started in March, you were trying to do the carnivore diet, right?
Yeah, I did that for a solid month. I did it for an entire solid month. I did it really strict. Followed a lot of examples from, you know, other doctors that I follow on Instagram, you know, like Dr. Sean Baker, and then a couple of other carnivore, you know, people that follow through with it. And it's like, oh, well, you know, just make sure you're eating this, make sure you're getting the right vitamins, B's, K's, everything, you know, you got to eat, you know, livers, and you have to eat.
And for those who don't know too much on the carnivore diet, can you just simple it down? Like, what is this diet?
It is strictly meat and some dairy product if you want, but no carbs, no sugars, no vegetables, like nothing. It's strictly meat and dairy products. Obviously, you have to look at the ingredients if you're going for dairy, like things like milk and things like that, and like cheese.
Cheese,
you
okay.
Know, you have to look at, you know, the back of the label, preservatives are in it, you know, because you don't want to eat any of that shit. That stuff's all garbage for you anyways.
Yeah.
So you shouldn't eat that stuff anyways. So, me, I mainly focused on, I was eating two meals a day, and I was actually pretty, you know, pretty full. I didn't really eat until like 1 p.m., which is when I took like my lunch break at work. And it was half a pound of ground beef and then like six slices of bacon.
Okay. And sounds good to me. At least the bacon part.
It was delicious. All of my coworkers thought I was absolutely insane, and all of my employees were like,
oh, they're like, you're going to have a heart attack in like, yeah,
dude,
2 years.
They're like, yeah, dude, you're going to die like at the end of the week. Like, what are you having for dinner? I'm going to have a prime rib when I get home. It's going to go
to more bacon.
That. Yeah. But yeah, it was crazy. Like, I did it for 30 days, really strict. And then when I mean really strict is that's all I ate meat.
How about liquids? Just water?
Liquids was just water. I didn't really have anything else. I didn't drink any beer. That was the hardest thing to get away from.
Okay.
I know, especially going out with the boys, we went out to breweries.
Avid beer drinkers here, guys. So yeah, that'd probably be another episode that we can talk about.
Craft beer is my game, and staying away for it for 30 days was hard.
Not an easy task.
It was really hard.
Anyone
for me
who loves craft beers.
Especially when we live around like some of like the most amazing breweries living down here in Southern California.
And then Orange County, just period. We have a lot of gold mines here.
And you know, my favorite brewery out here is Unsung.
Yeah.
And so we would go to like Brewery X and things like that, and I'd be sitting there with like my bottle of water, and then all you boys would be drinking, like, sure you don't want one? I'm like,
just one. Yeah. And it's hard to, and I think when, during that time when you were on there, obviously we had discussions about it, and that intrigued me a lot. And that's when I was like, maybe I should do this right now. Obviously I am doing the keto diet, which is the fad right now, and down almost 10 pounds in about, I would say about 2.5 weeks now.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And I feel good. Energy levels have come up a little bit. I feel like well rested. I don't feel as bloaty. And on top of that, I have also been including the intermediate fasting. So okay, my 16 and 8, I feel like it's just been really solid. Like I don't feel, I think I felt the hunger and the little cravings here and there.
Right.
And then once my window opened up, and it's just about habit and getting used to it and eating the right foods in the right time. So I know I like it, and I eventually want to try the carnivore diet. Like you said, I just want to do it 30 days strict. And obviously you started it in probably the worst possible time ever, just because meat shortage. No, there's no meat whatsoever. Or were you able to find some?
I didn't find a shortage at all. I didn't have any problem finding it. I mean, there's, you know, it got expensive in like some spots and you had to shop around. But, okay, you know, most places it was reasonable where you can, you know, buy like a 3-pound ground beef for like $5 and you're like, all right, sweet.
Okay.
And then a couple of steaks and you just make that last for however long you need to. But yeah, man, those 30 days were rough, but it was definitely like super eye-opening, especially because like I was fasting too and like I wasn't really eating as much. And I think the best feeling about like any, like, especially that diet is just the non-bloating. That was like the biggest thing for me where I was just like, oh my God, like, I don't feel like I'm about to die. Like all the time after a meal, like we would go out and like eat like a burger or something. And like, you know, have like a Diet Coke. And like, even after that with like some fries, even that, you're just like, oh, I want
to
take
a nap. It was hard to breathe. No, yeah, and I agree with you. I think cutting out the, at least for me and the keto diet that I'm doing, is the bread and how many alternatives there are.
Yes.
And being able to kind of be like, I can still have somewhat of what I used to like, and being able to do it now, you know, especially now that it's so prevalent that most spots are like catering to you guys now, yeah, like to being like, oh, we have, you know, at least at what Pieology Pizza Press, we have keto bread. Four net carbs.
Yeah. Or if it's, you want to like cauliflower.
Or cauliflower. Exactly. And I just felt like, wow, there's some really good options, especially right now.
Yeah.
And being able to do that has been very wonderful. And like you said, that bloat feel, not having it, is amazing.
Yeah.
That to be able to get like, I don't feel like I have to breathe heavy after like a meal. And just even like you said, like a burger, and I would be like, damn, like I just feel so full. Like I just feel it like right in the back of my throat and being like, I just ate a double double.
Yeah, it's especially just because like when I broke my carnivore deal for the first time after those 30 days, I had Domino's pizza. That's what I had. I know me and Shelly got out some Domino's pizza. Just like, whatever, my 30 days are up. I dropped 20 pounds.
Okay, awesome.
It was...
30 days, that's really fast.
Yeah, I went from 203 to 183, and I've been able to maintain that pretty much so far from now on.
Okay.
So yeah, so I'm hitting around that weight right now. And yeah, when I first broke it, we had a beer, and then I had like two slices of pizza, and I just felt so bad. I was like,
Everything out the window, or
I was like, oh my God, like I felt bad because, like, I was like, oh, man.
All that hard,
like,
work and like, kind of just like maintaining
me,
that,
yeah. Like, I know, like, I shouldn't be eating this, but
you're gonna do it.
I want it, yeah. I think I've earned it. And you know, for the most part, like, if you like been training and like you're like super strict on your diet for the most time, one bad day shouldn't be like life ruining for you.
No,
you shouldn't
think absolutely. Yourself, like, the worst. Don't deprive yourself.
Yeah, don't deprive yourself of fun stuff like a beer here every now and then, yeah, or like a pizza or something like that. You should be like, okay, we'll get back on the horse tomorrow and like we'll ride this out. And
so just, when you said 203 was your heaviest, that mm-hmm. was my skinny weight. I'm going to say about we're going on 4 years now. That was my skinny weight around 26. And the diet that I was doing at the time was ridiculous, but... Mm. I had been juicing. That was the route that I decided to kind of try out.
I don't like juicing.
And for me, it just made simple sense and what I needed to do, and just keep it straightforward. Liquids only, juicing. Mm. And I was actually inspired by a documentary. I think it was called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dying, some British guy.
Yeah, I remember.
So that's that. Originally, that's what mm-hmm. like kind of baited me, and just like, oh, let's see this guy's journey and how he got healthy. And it worked, man, because at the time where I was at my heaviest was around 250. And mm-hmm. I was like, dude, I was just a big fat blob. And I just felt really just crap. So I was like, all right, I gotta step it up. Maybe this will kind of just spark up what I need to get motivated for. Right. And then I did that juicing, and within like, I did it for like, I'm going to say straight month without any sort of food or mm-hmm. any like, you know, solids. And then it was a month and a half into it where I was like, all right, I'm going to have just a plain chicken salad without any Caesar, and just ate it. And I felt good, but I dropped down to 208.
Oh, damn.
And that was where I was my skinny. I lost that weight in a month and a half, almost 2 months of juicing. And then I slowly started to eat.
Right.
And the rest is history. And it went down there from here. It just, I gained it back. Like everyone said, was like, you're going to gain it back real fast and this and that. And I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, but my energy level was great. Energy level was great. I didn't feel tired. I didn't feel bloaty, obviously, because I didn't eat shit. So,
right. You're just eating liquids.
But it felt good at the time. And then I was like, oh, it's probably not the smartest. I think it's a good way to jumpstart it if you're looking to kind of get it going and then not just do it for pure liquids, but add some food in there and kind of maintain that. But I did feel the energy level go up tremendously.
Yeah.
And I felt like not bloating, obviously.
I my biggest problem with like juicing, and it was that people that were doing it just strictly juicing, like that's all we're going to do. I'm just going to juice for like 30 days and go like on this cleanse. And it's like, you know, you can just like cut out most of just the junk food that you're eating and, you know, stick to actual whole foods. Cause I think what you're doing when you're doing juicing is you're depriving yourself of all those phytonutrients that are really important, especially like in fruits and vegetables. Like when you grind them up and stuff, you're losing a lot of those phytonutrients.
And that's a big part of it. And I didn't realize that. And that's, you know, I forgot what I got, like a Juice Man 500, something from Best Buy, and just kind of used it. And then that's another thing where I was just like, oh, like in the process of doing it, like you said, I was losing a lot of nutrients that were embedded in the actual fruit itself or the vegetable that I would be consuming. Because obviously I wasn't, you know, doing cold pressed and leaving everything in there as a whole. So I did see that part of it where I was just like, oh, I'm only getting maybe if I'm lucky, half of the nutrients. Yeah. In there.
And that's, you know, it's something that you should worry about. You should worry about your vitamin levels, especially like right now during like this COVID stuff, especially like vitamin D and like K and like all Bs and like all that stuff is super important. And it's fine if you want to do like one meal worth like liquids and you're doing like stuff like that. But if it's like I'm doing like a full strict like 30-day regimen of like nothing but like this juicing stuff, it's like, be really careful, man. Like just
And that's the one thing,
your body, like
your body will naturally react. And I think that's what I noticed. I think in the first 2 weeks, I initially felt like, I was like, dude, my body just hurting, like initially. And I was like, and then my body obviously got used to what I was giving it. It'll adjust to it and adapt to it. But that was pretty stressful and like really struggleful. Like you said, like, oh, I want a beer, or like I want a pizza slice, or something to that extent. And I know for me, I was just like, once I was like in my head, I was like, no, all right, no, let's not do it. Nope. Yeah. It just became easier, but it was stressful at times to be able to do that, especially when you're trying to, you know, hang out with friends or even families and parties and continue, as you name it was just like, that's probably not the smartest idea.
Yeah, especially us, like being, you know, Hispanic, it's, you know, the family's like, oh, mijo, que quieres comer? And it's like, oh, we have
tortillas, pozole,
like, we got enchiladas,
pan dulce, you name it, we have it. And I think that was, at the time, was pretty stressful. But I think that the one thing, who do you have, anyone that inspires you in the fitness? Is there someone that you're like, I want to be like that person, or this is like kind of the mentality that you got into yourself?
I think for me, it was, that's kind of weird. Cause like, again, I was always like that really small kid, like growing up. And so like for me, it was like pursuing like strength. So I'd always look up to like bodybuilders and, you know, like power lifters. So, you know, think like Hafþór, you know, from Iceland is like the world's strongest man. And then, you know, look at, you know, obviously like Arnold and, you know, Frank Colombo, Frank Zane, and like, you know, Jay Cutler, Ronnie Coleman. Like you look at all those guys and, you know, they're super ripped, but they're super strong too.
Yeah.
And so I knew I probably wouldn't get like that. Like I know I just don't have the super hardcore dedication to like get to like that kind of stuff, but like I wanted to at least like push my body, you know? So I think for me, like the biggest influences were like those old school bodybuilders. Like nowadays, I think the only person I actually like really pay attention to is like some guy on Instagram. It's called Julian Smith. He's the quad guy.
I've seen you post him. So.
Yeah, he's got like the most ridiculous legs on planet Earth. but yeah, that dude's like super shredded, and I was following his like workout routines for like at least like a year and a half. I was subscribed to him. And like I was doing his stuff, and I definitely got stronger. I saw different, different physique changes in myself than just doing the regular stuff I was doing, just a lot of compound lifts. And he was having me do like a lot of variations of like squats and, you know, heels elevated, toes close together and stuff like that. So, it's weird. Like inspirations. for me, it was always just an inspiration, just wanting to be strong. It was never, I want to look like this guy. Like, it was just like push yourself. Like, yeah. How far can I really push my body? And that's been like the craziest thing, is like seeing like how far like I can actually push like this tiny frame of myself.
No.
Like, if you would have asked me like 5 years ago, like, hey, dude, you're going to be like benching like 315 pounds for like reps. Like, no, you're like, my arms would snap in half.
Yeah, no. They'll break.
Yeah. And then it's like, I did like, that like 4 months ago. And it's like, oh, no, I did that for reps like 4 months ago. And then, it's, you know, it's like, oh, you're going to be like deadlifting like four something and just going to crank it out. You know, you're not going to feel great the day after,
because your body's you'll be sore. Able to do it.
But like, it's like an accomplishment. And like, that's the thing that I've been really.
Mindset.
Yeah, it's just like driving towards like, cool, how far can I really push this? Obviously without like hurting or like breaking anything on myself.
Yeah, being safe about it, obviously.
Man, form is super important. I hurt my hip like 7 years ago, just like trying to squat too much, like way too early. And so now I've got like this, it's called hip click, where like my hip flexor on like my right side like clicks a little bit if I go down too low or if I don't warm up properly. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's like, man, form is super important. But yeah, you know, my drive's just been like, how far can I really push it without, you know, taking steroids or anything like that, or, and you know, just like trying to maintain like this, like the strength without getting like super massive, because, you know, I don't want to be like super disproportional and just like be like walking around, I can't even like wear like suit jackets anymore because of anything like that. That would be
super inconvenient.
Yeah, that would be super inconvenient. Or like, I look like I'm popping out of every single shirt that I'm trying to wear. But yeah, it's for me, it's just been like, push, like get up, shut up and put it like,
Do your work.
Yeah. Basically it's like, you know, that hardest work in the room, you know, the Rock's famous shirt, you know, it's like,
yeah,
cool. Like, yeah, so I'm gonna go in there and I'm gonna do my work and, you know, crank it out.
I think that's been one of the driving forces I've seen grow in you when I initially first met you. And I think that inspired me on how dedicated you were. Even before the quarantine, even a few years back when you were, hey, what are you doing? Oh, I'm at the gym right now. I'll be like, okay, cool. All right. I'll talk to you later.
It's like, yeah, I'll see you in 2 hours.
And then I was like, all right, cool. Hey, what are you doing right now? Well, where do you think I'm at? And I was like, oh, at the gym. Oh, my bad, dude. All right. I'll hit you up later.
Yeah.
And I think that was very inspirational to be able to have someone in like my group list and my friends and my circle to be like, that's kind of the mentality that I want to push myself to. Even like, it was set schedule. You're like, I'll be there Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Every day around 1:30 or 2 o'clock, I will be at that gym.
Yeah.
No matter what. And that's been really cool to see, you know, in front of my face and being able to see you grow from that distance and being able to be like, dang, all right, Ray's got it down as far as like your drive for it. And that's something that doesn't come easily and doesn't come naturally. Cause I know that some people are just like, all right, I'll go. You know, 1 week they're on, and then next week they're like, oh, I'll take the week off. Yeah, days. a few days back to back, and yeah. I'll be back on Thursday or Friday. So that's been really, really cool to see.
It was weird. It clicked one day. It just clicked all together. I was like, oh no, you're making progress. So you're putting up more weight. You're getting stronger. You can see it. Other people are complimenting on you. And, you know, they're always like, oh, dude, you're here all the time. And it's like, oh yeah. Oh shit! I'm at the gym like all the time. Like you get to meet like every like all the other like.
How about that community? Like, what do you, as far as like
it looks super intimidating, especially because I was going to Gold's.
Yeah.
So a lot of the regulars that I would see were like these big old like muscle head guys, and they're like just like slinging around like 125-pound dumbbells and like. And squatting like 6-7 plates, and you're like, oh god, like I gotta squat next to him on the squat rack right next to him.
You're like, oh, but sir, I promise you, I can lift more.
please don't eat me, please, sir. I don't have that much protein on me.
Oh man.
But after a while, after like about a year or so of just like continuously like showing up, a lot of those people would recognize me, and then they'd be like, oh dude, you've been coming here for a long time, and I'm like, yeah, I've been here for like a whole year. And like, you're getting bigger. You're like, great. I like seeing you here. And then they're friendly. A lot of those guys would help you out with like form. If they're like,
hey, you're doing this wrong.
Yeah.
Don't hurt yourself.
Yeah. Like I was having problems squatting again. And there's like this group of like four dudes like on the squat right next to me. And they're like squatting like four or five plates. And I've got like three plates on. And I'm like, I'm just doing like one rep, like max, and putting it back and then going in for another single. And they're like, you know, your belt's on a little bit too high. You should, you know, like, can I help you out here real quick? And like, okay, well, roll up like your knee sleeves a little bit higher. They're a little bit too low. Your belt's sitting a little bit too high on your diaphragm, putting it just a little bit low. And then they're teaching you how to breathe in properly into my belt. And then I'm like, okay, well, let's see right now without any weight, squat down. They're like, all right, we'll fix this, you know, spread out a little bit further. Make sure, you know, your legs are like this. And, you know, and I hit like 315 for like 5 reps. And they're like, you can probably do more. Take it easy for right now. And
get used to start.
Yeah. Just like get used to this form, because it's not what you were doing before and your body needs to like get
adjust
better
it.
At it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been crazy. A lot of those guys, again, they look super intimidating. Don't get me wrong.
And that's the one thing, like, I know when I would go with you here in time to time again, and when we used to go to Gold's, I was just like, that's the thought process of me being like, oh, this guy, this bro, he's just like, he's like, oh, dude, I can lift heavier than you. And, you know, rocking the, you know, the really cut slim fit shirt mm-hmm. and tatted up. And I was like, nah, this guy is just all about himself, whatever. And then there was a few times where, you know, when you were trying to improve my form, just squatting and, you know, form, like you said, form is everything. And that's something that I didn't really know going into it. And I was like, oh, crap, like form does make a difference. And how
God, I wish I learned that earlier.
And I just remember one time where something similar, and I was actually benching, and one of the guys was like, oh, try to, you know, breathing. I was like, I breathe normal. He's like, no, breathe as you're, coming down with the weights and do this. And then kind of gave me some minor pointers. And then instantly I was like, oh, this guy was pretty nice. Like I was like, oh, what's this guy want? Or is he going to ask me like, hey, hurry up, get off on that.
Right. Like, hey, how many more sets you got?
And I was like, oh no, he actually was helpful. And I was kind of threw me off guard. And I was like, oh, actually it's pretty cool. Like pretty chill.
There are a couple of outliers there.
You know, there's a few here and there and everywhere.
But a majority of, especially like people that I've ran into at the gym, especially those monsters that you see.
Yeah.
Super nice. Those guys are like adorable. They're just like, oh, I know you're in here all the time. Like, what's up, man? My name's so and so. And you're like, oh shit, like, maybe we should work out together. It's like, oh, what are you working on today? I'm like, oh, shoulders and back. And they're like, oh, can I jump in with you for like this set? I'm like, yeah, man, let's crush
Jordan.
It.
Jordan.
And then, you know, you get like that training partner for like those first couple of sets. And, you know, that person will push you and you push him. And, you know, you bro fist bump on the way out. And you're like, see you, man. I'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow, same
and
time.
And he's like, all right, I'll see you tomorrow. And that's it. You know, yeah, there was a couple of guys I met there that were like that. They were just like, oh, what are you doing today? It's like, well, I'm doing this. Like, can I hop in on your workout? I'm like, yeah, man, let's crank it out. What are you doing? And so, you know, we'd crush out a workout and be like, oh, what are you doing tomorrow? It's like, I'm doing this. He's like, are you going to be here at the same time? Always here at the same time. He's like, cool. Let's crush it again tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you build on that, like, it's like a really small like community, especially like right there. You like, you'll know the guys that you see every day.
Yeah.
And you know, you always get like that.
You like that, you know, nod and little shrug. Like, hey, what's up, man?
Oh, you're here again, huh? Like, oh, you're going to crush it again, huh? I was like, yep, totally. That's what I'm here for. That's what I'm going to do today.
So initially, I know we were kind of circling back, but hiking, what originally got you into hiking, or was it Shelly? She was the one that kind of pushed you.
She was the one that really pushed me into that. Just because I did a lot of sports like growing up. Like I did baseball and we ran all the time. That's all you did in baseball. Like you ran and then, you know, you run plays and work the infield because I was shortstop. And so I just got really tired of running. Got really, really tired of running. And she was like, oh, let's go hiking. It's like, I don't know, man. Like I'd rather just like go to the gym, lift some weights. And she's like, no, come on, let's go. And so I was like, all right. I like grabbed like some cheap old backpack that I had and just, we started hiking and it wasn't anything like super intense to like begin with, but you know, we were doing like bridge to nowhere, just like 10 miles front and back. But you know, it wasn't like a super high incline or anything like that. And it was like a couple of waterfalls here and there. And, you know, eventually it started, you know, progress more and more, which is like, oh, we're going to go do Mount Baldy today. And like, I've never done Mount Baldy. And she's like, yeah, we're going to go do that. And I was like, oh, okay. And then again, like how you and your wife were, it was like, you didn't know what you were signing up for. And then like halfway up to Iskita, I'm just like dying. Like just straight huffing and puffing. Just like, cool, we're going to take a lunch. Try and get whatever breath you can back. And we're going to do this. We're going to finish it out. And then, it kept progressing more and more after that. But again, it was like the same thing. Like whenever you hit like a PR, like in like any kind of like weightlifting, like once you get to like the peak of that mountain, you get like this, like in adrenaline rush, like this surge of like serotonin where you're just like, oh my God, I just crushed this. Like, yes. And it's that same feeling. You're like, I conquered this mountain. I made this mountain my bitch. And then, you know, you get back down and then you're like, man, that was super rewarding. I'm super tired. I super need a beer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't realize there was so much, especially being in Orange County and so close to LA County and the, you know, Los Angeles National Forest and all these amazing places to hike, was there are so many places to go and so many routes you can take. I didn't realize there was that many. Like, me being from, you know, born and raised in Orange County, I was like, oh yeah, we're close to everything. We have the beach, we have the mountains, but it was always really somewhere, like,
travel to,
exactly, like, and somewhere places to be like, oh, I'm going over there to go hike and come up that, you know, huge incline and go on that mountain.
Yeah.
Like, it's something that I don't think ever crossed my mind until I met you guys, you and Shelly in general, just to be like, oh, hiking's a thing. People do that in their spare time.
Yeah, what
do
you
mean?
Fun.
Yeah. I was like, what do you mean they, you know, they go to the, you know, Yosemite and, you know, sleep there in tents and like that whole thing. Like, it's not that it's bad, but I just never knew that people are like genuinely like, I want to do this really, and it's something really to check off their list. And being able to do that. And I know, I think the last one we just did was the potato chip rock in, SD County. And
you know what's funny? I still never done that one.
It wasn't that bad. We got there. I took Shelly's mentality for that hike, and I told my wife, and then I invited my brother-in-law, Armando, to that hike. And I was like, we're leaving at 4 a.m. I want to get there. First one's there. I want to be in and out, and that's it. I don't want to have to deal with the crowd, deal with the sun, my worst enemy. Yes, so that was a big part.
Especially in the summer right now.
And especially in the summer. And that's the one thing where I was like, all right, you know, we're leaving at 4 in the dot. Let's wake up at 3:30, get our stuff, make sure our packs are good to go. And we got there at 5, like, I want to say like 5:30. Obviously no traffic that time and that early. And we were, you know, right there before the gates were open. And I didn't know the whole, I'm so obviously new to this and trying to figure out, it was closed, but the exit, you know, entrance was open, and it just said employees only. But I was like, whatever.
Yeah.
Signs are, that's, you know, fine. That's fine. Let's just go through there. Like, I saw other cars going around. I didn't, at the time, I didn't realize there were employees, but I saw other cars going around, and I was like, oh, I'm there. We parked near the entrance, saw the bathrooms. So I was all right, let's get, you know, warmed up. Let's tie up our shoes, get our packs ready, and start heading up. And it was like 5:55. I was like, oh, the gates open at 6, so I don't think 5 minutes can make a difference.
Right.
And then it was me and another car that followed me, obviously.
Follow the leader.
Yeah, follow the leader. So we parked, you know, actually perpendicular from each other, and we're like, all right, cool. And then I saw the park ranger drive by, and he's like, hey, we don't open for 5 minutes. Get outside the gate, and then I'll open it. And I was like, I really thought he was kidding, but, you know, he's got to do his job. So I was like, all right, we got out. And then 5 minutes later, he opened the gate, and then we went back into our same exact spot.
Did he make you drive out and then back in?
Yeah.
Oh, so he actually,
no, he actually made me drive out to the gate. And there was already two cars already there, but it's not like, oh, we're still one of the first few ones there. So it didn't really make a huge difference, but, you know, follow the rules. But yeah, that was a pretty solid hike. I think the incline wasn't that bad initially, and then there's a lot of like pavement steps and stuff like that throughout the trail, and it was, you know, it gave me a run for my money. I was breathing pretty hard towards the way up, and then on the way down, that's when we started to kind of, you know, almost to that little potato chip rock, we got the sun, and then that was a pretty thin piece of rock that was there. I understand that now, but
yeah. You see it in pictures all the time. You're like, oh, that does not look stable.
No, it was not. It was a little bit harder to get to than I expected. Oh, there's like a huge rock platform right before it, and then you have to transfer over, and it's at a slant. So it's not the easiest thing to do, especially if you're by yourself. There's actually a handful of people there. Obviously, everyone's wearing their mask and being safe and keeping the distance. But it was just like, oh, dang. Like, I thought it was just like, oh, let me just waltz up this little rock. Yeah. And
like, oh,
it wasn't like that. So you actually got to get on a pretty decent sized rock. And but it was pretty dope. I did enjoy it. And, you know, very welcoming as far as like, oh, this is a pretty cool sight to see. Obviously, we only went up and went back down, you know, 7-8 miles, something like that.
That's
which wasn't too bad. That's why I was like, well, we just did Mount Baldy. So
yeah,
the elevation wasn't as bad, but, you know, it got me breathing pretty hard. And it was a fun hike. We were done by, like, I'm gonna say we went up, we got there around, probably down by the mountain by like probably 9:30 or 10.
Oh, wow.
So it was just like we were, you know, we're pushing down a lot faster than we were going up.
Yeah.
Obviously. But it was great. I liked it, you know, and that was one thing where I was like, no, like, are we really going to wake up and do the hike? And, you know, I was motivated. Like you said, like, I wanted that adrenaline. I wanted that, like,
you wanted
I actually
that,
did that.
You wanted that accomplishment.
Yeah. And it was good. Now I kind of see from your guys' perspective to be like, dude, they're doing, like, an 18-mile hike. Like, yeah. I don't want to do that. Like,
we're a little crazy.
A little. It's another statement, but yeah.
I should throw in, like, some caveats. Like, I did, like, growing up, like, in, like, my teenage years, like, during high school, I did go camping a lot with my dad and my family. And, I mean, we didn't, like, hike like how we did now.
Yeah.
How we do now. But, you know, I would, you know, I was pretty outdoorsy. I'd go out and fish in rivers and catch my dinner and
clean
and gut my own, you know, my own dinner for that night. But, you know, that was all over Mammoth. So that was just, you know, like Devil's Post pile and, like, you know, the waterfalls and stuff like that. Nothing super extraneous, but, like, I always thought, like, oh, yeah, I'm an outdoorsman. And then you come up to, like, now with, like, you know, what me and Shelly are doing right now, where it's like, oh, no, like, that's... Like, we went out backpacking in Utah, like, in the middle of nowhere. And, like, that was, like, that was, like, 20, 22 miles, I think. Just, like, in the Grand Escalator Staircase National Park out there in Utah. Hiking in and out with, like, everything. It's, like, 60-pound pack, tent, food, like, water, like, all that stuff. Like, oh, no, that's camping. Like, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I think that it reminds me of... that new Netflix special that Zac Efron did, Down to Earth.
I love that one.
That thing is, it's a pretty dope show, and it's really just like, damn, it's pretty, like, he's doing his homework and he's doing his research with that, you know, big old guy he's usually with. And I forgot what episode it was, but they were like, oh yeah, we're in the middle of the jungle, and, like, we gotta, you know, take a plane to a car ride and then to a riverboat. And then we get to where we need to be. And that's basically what they did. They were just like, there's, you know, a little hut right there.
Yeah.
We'll, you know, forage for our food around here and cook it and, you know, do, like you said, gut it and clean it, cook it. And that's what we're going to be doing. It's pretty intense to.
Super different. Like, when you're out, like, backpacking like that, and you just think, like, oh, like, there's going to be, like, at least, like, an outhouse or something, like, close by here, you know, or something.
Yeah,
and then you realize, like, oh, no, there's not. You got to dig a hole and then cover it up. And if there's, like, certain restrictions on, like, that park where it's, like, no, you pack in and out your own waste. So then you have to bring in these things called WAG bags, where it's just, like, it's basically, like, a triple-layered, like, doggy bag that you...
It's for your doo-doo.
That you...
You know?
Yeah, that you that you poop in, and then you have to carry it out. Yeah. Does not smell great.
No,
tell you from experience, especially
I would assume so, you know,
especially because a lot of, like, the WAG bags that they give you, it's like they're filled with, like it's kind of like kitty litter or something like that to, like, help, like, mitigate, like, the smell and just, like, keeping it, like, together or something like that. But it doesn't help at all. It still smells super bad.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, that was like super eye opening where it's like, oh no, you pack in and out all of your waste, like, out there in Utah. And I was like, oh man, like, I gotta carry on a bag full of my own shit. Like,
yeah,
all right. And then it's like not like a 5 mile hike or like a 2 mile hike to, like, your car. It's like, I was like, no, we gotta go 12 miles back to the car.
Yeah,
it's like, oh, that's like 8 hours. It's like, okay, yeah, right.
What was,
let's do that.
What was the most difficult hike you've guys done, where you're just like, I don't even know if we're gonna make this hike or actually complete it? Like, did that ever cross your mind to any of these hikes?
That, personally for me, that's never crossed, like, that's the one thing that I will give myself, like, super credit for, is I will never give up on a hike, regardless of how difficult it is. I may go incredibly slow and, like, at a turtle's pace, but I will get there to the top. There's not going to be a moment where I'm going to be like, nope, I give up, let's go back. Like, unless, like, something, like, hurts or, like, you know, I just, like,
injured or something.
Yeah, like, my body's just like, no, man, like, you're not
going to be able to do this.
Definitely not going to do it. But if it's, like,
not by choice.
Yeah, it's not by choice. You know, it's something that, you know, my body's, like, reacting to. And it's like, no, man, not, like, I'm sorry, not today. But if it's like, cool, I'm feeling all right, I'd see no problem. Like, my body will just be like, yeah, you're tired, you're hurt, but get to the top. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You're getting to the top. I think the biggest one where I felt that on was Mount Whitney. And for those of you who don't know, that is, aside from, like, I think it is like Alaska, like Mount Denali. It's like 17,000 something around there, but you have to take like an expedition team up there. Mount Whitney's like the tallest mountain like in most of the United States. And so that's 12 miles one way. So you're doing like 20 something like all together. And it's an insane amount of incline. There's this thing called the 99 switchbacks, where if you don't know, the switchback is basically like left to right and then up, and you just keep going back and forth.
Oh, zigzags.
Yeah, okay. It's like zigzag, like up a mountain. And there's 99 of those one way. And you got to come back down
the same way?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That just sounds horrendous.
And then, you know, you're not also fighting that, like the fatigue of your body from doing all that. You're fighting the elevation.
Elevation, the heat, everything. Or depending on the time of the year.
Depending on the time. But when we did it in late September. So it was like getting around like fall. So it wasn't like super hot. It was definitely cold when we started, because we did a day pass. You do get an option to do like an overnight, like you can camp out like
halfway somewhere through, like, or
somewhere closer to the top, and then, you know, summit the next day. But the girls are crazy that, you know, went on the hike with, and they're like, no, we're gonna do it one day. And it's like, I guess I signed up for this. Like, I'm in this relationship. I'm doing it. And we started the hike at like 1 a.m. Got up to those 99 switchbacks at like around like 6 or 5 a.m. somewhere on there. And I was like, all right. I was like, it's around like 12,000 somewhere on there, some 12,000 feet. And, you know, refilled our water. And it's like, you know, did like a mental check. And it's like, all right, how you doing? It's like, I'm tired, but, you know, it's fine. Push. Keep going.
Yeah.
You've got enough water.
Yeah.
You've got, you know, food, so you can, you know, do whatever you want. So it wasn't up until like you hit like around that like 13,000 somewhere around where like you forget how hard it is to breathe like up there. Like it's just like you're dying. Like you're trying to gasp for air like the entire time. And you're because of that, because you have this lack of oxygen, like you start getting headaches. And like my head was bumping for like the longest time, like in the last like half mile or so, like my head was just like throbbing. It was like, okay, let's take two more Sedrin and let's try and power through this. And then, you know, you get to the top and you're like, and then you look over like the entire scenery and you're just like, holy shit, like I just climbed this like this highest fucking mountain, like,
yeah,
this is insane. And like that's like, again, you get like that rush, like you're like,
yeah, you're like I just, oh, shit. Like, yeah, you conquered this mountain.
Yeah, like you think like, oh, you can't really do that. And you get there like, yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. And I think that I can only imagine how the air was thinning out up there. And that,
man, it's bad.
I didn't realize that. I knew that was a thing, but until you get to that point where, mm-hmm. like you said, like like I can't breathe, mm-hmm. like you're gasping for air. And we did, you know, our hikes, and I was a few times where I'm like, I'm just ready to pass out. My head's hurting. Mm-hmm. My feet are just fucking sore. And it's just a lot of that, just back and forth, and just you talking to yourself mentally, going through, like you said, the checks are like, nope, we're already here. Let's get this power through. And being able to do that is, you know, it's a,
yeah,
task within itself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, like your physical, you know, it is a super physical thing, but it's just as hard as like mental, like just pushing beyond like what you think you can do. Because you're a lot of times like I don't want to do any of this stuff. Like I don't want to work out. Like if I honestly had like a choice, like nah, dude, I'd be like drinking like an entire six pack of beer and like eating a large pizza and watching anime like all day. Like if that's what I really wanted to do, like that's what I would be doing.
Play video games, yeah.
And like play video games all day. Like that's what honestly what I would be doing, and you know, not trying to climb these mountains and like lift all this heavy ass weight. It was just like, no, you have to do this. Like you're gonna hate yourself if you don't. Like what are you gonna do? Just sit on like
it's a good outlet for, you know, once you get that book. Because I know that I've seen people on just either Instagram, Facebook, or social media where I noticed I knew people back in like, you know, high school, and I was like, oh, you know, they seemed whatever about mm-hmm. fitness, and then seeing them like hiking was their thing and they queued up with it, and yeah. just seeing them like, oh dang, they're hiking this stuff too, and you know, yeah. it's pretty amazing how that drive, like you said, just triggers you and you're just like, what's next for us?
Yeah,
and what's the next chapter
in
my hiking adventure? And you know, obviously it's different for everyone. Some things hiking, you're hiking and weightlifting.
Yeah.
But a big part of that is just trying to find your niche to get yourself.
Yeah. Whatever, you know, gets you active, man, like have at it. If that means you're going to like the rec center and like playing racquetball for like 3 hours, fucking do it.
Yeah.
Do it if you like.
Biking, if you like, basketball, yeah, you name it. I think there's so many outlets for it.
Do it.
And, you know, especially with, you know, the current situation, you know, you got to find the, you know, obviously the safe route, but also, you know, mentally check yourself. Because I know the one thing when we first got into this COVID, I was like, oh, man, at least I'll have the gym at my apartment. I was like, no, that's not going to happen. You're not going to get that. And I initially we were doing like a few of the classes online just in our living room. And we just kind of moved the couches and do a little bit of turbo kickboxing and got me sweating. It was good. But obviously, since I am on the third floor, I do have a neighbor downstairs. So I couldn't jump and kind of modify that, and it was good for the time being. But now I recently got bikes, so I've been doing that, and it's been really, really cool, especially since we live so close to the Santa Ana Riverbank and being able to do that. And these bikers are no joke. They're they're legit, and I've seen a few of them. None been me or no rude, but they're like, they're motivated, they're in the zone, and kind of seeing that was pretty cool. And just to be able to have that outlet, it's pretty convenient now.
Yeah, whatever gets you, like, just moving, like, just do it. Like, you talk shit, like, on video games or whatever. Like, oh, you just sit on the couch, but, like, there's some fun things to do on there, too. There's, you know, like, Wii Move or things like that. Like, Ring Fit right now. Like,
yeah, exactly. I just saw that.
I belong to, like a fitness, like, nerd group or whatever. And a lot of them are using that Ring Fit stuff, and they're like cranking out. Like, I was doing like Ring Fit for like 2 hours, like you're saying, just dripping sweat. And I'm like, great. Awesome, man. Good for you. Like, go eat something good then. You earned it. Like,
yeah.
And be mindful like of what you're eating, but you know, like, yeah, man.
I think it's doing that first step and that first change. I know for, you know, it's always that just to start it. That's I think the hardest battle. Cause I know, With you know, my podcast, I know initially I was, you know, it started out, like you said, it was an idea and I was like, nah, let me, you know, whatever, I'll get around to it. Initially I wanted to do a vlog and then I geared more into this and kind of just doing my research and just feeling like, no, I need to start this. It's either now or never.
Right.
I need to get this going and get the wheels moving. And, you know, with anything, not only just this, but like you said, fitness, health, everything.
Yeah.
And being able to do that, it's just, you have to take the first step.
Yeah. I know when I first started, like actually like really starting to like take this seriously and like go to the gym and stuff, is like, I was super intimidated. I had no idea what I was doing. I felt like just like some lost sheep and like in like this pack of like wolves. And it's like, what am I doing? Like, I don't belong here. And then, you know, you just keep doing it and you force yourself to do it. And you're like, no, I have to be there. No, I have to be there. If you really want like the mindset and you really want to do something, like you're just going to do it. Like regardless of, you know, the looks or, you know, the criticisms or like people going like, oh, you know, you really should be doing this. Or you should be doing that. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to stick to what I feel comfortable with right now. And, you know, again, it was just like, I had to do it. And I had to keep doing it and I had to keep going and I had to keep, pushing towards, you know, something, whether it was like, cause I'm always going to have like a body dysphoria. Like I absolutely hate the way that I look, but you know, I have like other friends that are like, dude, what are you talking about? Like you look great. Like you've got giant ass fucking arms. You got giant ass chest. Like your legs are getting there and you know,
yeah,
it's like, yeah, but
that's where the mental comes in and, you know, being able to hear that from other people. I know, you know, like you said, you were always scrawny. You're that little kid growing up. I was always the, you know, I've always been bigger. Just my body, just naturally been body
this
type.
Taller,
dude. But I've always, you know, I think that's one thing that I've, you know, struggled with all my life. Not just to like, where to find my balance into that, and being able to, you know, recognize that, because I know for a lot of times I was like, oh, you know, whatever, you know, I kind of just threw caution to essentially my health, and obviously a lot of people, especially in the United States, you know, take that route and just like, yeah, I'll do what I can when I can.
Yeah.
But that's not always the case. And I think that's what kind of started to motivate me to, you know, not only during, you know, obviously we're in a quarantine and with all this that's going on and the situation, but kind of pushed me towards like, all right, now since we're all in lockdown, try to focus on my health and just mentally, physically, and just all aspects. That's why, hence biking, hiking. Even when I first, you know, we started doing turbo kickboxing in the living room and, you know, even just walking around our neighborhood and, you know, doing 2-3 miles, just kind of walking around and just getting that started, It's been really interesting to kind of just see that in myself, to be like, all right, I've always dealt with that now.
And yeah, it's like you push it off to the wayside and you're just like, yeah, I'll get to it when I get to it.
You know, we're getting older.
Yeah, you get to like the, like, oh, like I had, you know, you think like back in the day, like I can drink like a whole 12 pack of beer and then, you know, drink all this stuff and like run it off, like, or, you know,
yeah, work it out.
Like in like a week or something, you know, a couple of days. And then now it's like, no.
It's not like that. Yeah, your metabolism isn't where it needs to be.
Yeah, dude, like that was actually kind of like the weirdest things. It's like, oh, like, you know, I could eat like whatever I wanted when I was, you know, growing up and like not put on any weight. And then, you know, we got to like my mid-20s or something. And I was just like, I saw that picture of myself and I was like, oh, nope. Like I cannot party like I used to. Cannot eat like I used to.
Yeah, those Facebook memories, man, are very taunting.
They come back to haunt.
They come hard. And that's the one thing where I kind of, you know, spoke to Dana and I told her, I was like, we need to, you know, I'm 31. She's going to be 31 next month. And, you know, just be conscious and self-aware of it. Cause a lot of people aren't aware of it, you know? And that's the one thing when I saw a few of those photos and I was like, I don't like you said, I don't like the way I look and I have to move forward and make a change about it. And I'm not going to just, oh, well, I'll get around to it. And, you know, it's harsh reality. Sometimes you're looking and you're just like, all right, this is what it is, and I don't want to do it like that anymore.
Yeah, it's like, do we address the problem or do we, you know, like
kick it under the rug
and just forget about it. Like, whatever, dude. Like, I'll go have like this 3x3 real quick, and you know,
yeah, animal fries and a Diet Coke, right?
Yeah, the Diet Coke's the one that's going to save you.
Yeah, exactly.
And not all those, you know, bread and like all that other stuff you're throwing into your body.
Yeah, sweets and sugar. But yeah, it's been quite an eye opening, especially during this time, and understanding that. You know, fitness, health, mentally, physically, just all around, just you want to be better.
Yeah. That was like the biggest thing. Like for me, it was just like, if I'm going to make like such a drastic change, like physically, like it should help me out like mentally too, you know? And that's also been really helpful too. Like, just like, you know, professional, like work life and then, you know, relationship wise, you know, just like going out, like getting a really hard workout in, you know, just like it clears your mind and it, you know, it centers you and, you know, puts you, like in a focus that you know, it lets you drain all that bullshit out of your body. And then you're like, okay, now let's deal with the stuff, you know, at work, or, you know, let's deal with, you know, your relationship and, you know, all this other stuff. So that's been probably one of the, like the bigger long-term, like plus sides I've seen, you know, besides, you know, just physically, you know, the mental stuff has been like insane, you know, just having like this insane focus of, you know, okay, cool. You work out your body and then, you know, you get right into like this. It's like a weird, like
it goes all around. I think you don't realize it, that it just affects all aspects of your life. And by changing one thing, it just dominoes through like, all right, I'm eating better now physically. I'm working out.
Your stress level goes down. You sleep better at night.
Way down, sleeping like a baby. And that's the one thing I know when, you know, this whole journey started. Now I feel like I'm actually getting rest and actually getting some good REM sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's been quite an adventure. So I think that, you know, I think next time, you know, hopefully no other pandemic comes around, but at least I know mentally I'll be more prepared and being aware of my surroundings and understanding that, you know, it's trial and error and see what, you know, I find my niche, whether it's, you know, we fit or, you know, we wing and,
yeah, man, you know, again, it's, you know, working out, it's definitely something you should do. I mean, obviously you don't need to go like ham, like how I do, like, or anything like that.
But,
you know, I think the biggest thing that has the biggest takeaway is just cleaning up, you know, what you're eating. Nutrition is like 70% of the work. Like, trying to mitigate your sugars, you know, your drinking, you know,
processed food,
Food's like super bad for you. I know I've been doing, I got off carnivore and I've kind of been like wishy-washy on it. You know, 5 days out of the week, I'll eat carnivore. And then, you know, again, because of this pandemic, I've been cooking a lot. And that's been,
I didn't realize how much that's been beneficial and just
cooking
great
your own food
and seeing like, oh, this is a raw piece of meat and I'm going to cook it, season it and eat it.
But that comes with anything. I mean, you know, just like picking out like whole, like nutritional food and making like a bomb.
It's been eye opening to be able to read all the labels. And not in just like, oh, not counting the carbs, but just seeing what's in my food that I'm usually consuming and realizing that, This is not the greatest thing, and it's like, not healthy for me.
I can't pronounce like six of these words on the back of this label.
So I'm pretty sure.
I probably shouldn't eat that, you know? That's been like, again, it's like cooking has been like one of the best things. Because I haven't, again, because I haven't been doing the whole carnivore thing or like even keto. It's just been like, I've just been cooking at home, like cooking for the family. And it's been like different meals like all the time. But it's always like whole foods that I'm using. Like I'm cooking like every ingredient and throwing it in there. Not using canned stuff or anything like that. And that's been like super, super healthy, super rewarding. I've just been like, wow, this stuff tastes amazing. Like, I'm super proud of myself. And then, you know, you jump on the scale and you're like, I didn't do any damage to you whatsoever.
Yeah.
Like you don't feel like super bloated, you know, because you're eating all this processed junk. It's, you know, that's been like the best thing.
Yeah. It's been quite, especially for me and Diana, obviously, and something that, you know, we've been able to get some joy from it and just learning each other's basically, you know, cooking style and being able to like mesh together and like, oh, I'll cook this, you cook that. Mm-hmm. And that's been actually really good, especially as you're getting older. You know, it's one thing that I think a lot of people, especially nowadays, don't really know how to cook. And they kind of just use either, you know, fend for yourselves now and being able to do that. Not saying that, you know, occasionally we'll order out, but it'll be, you know, on the healthier side as far as what we're going to eat. Yeah. Or like, all right.
Because you know what you're putting into it.
And seeing that, and it's just been like, all right, eye-opening, and been very fortunate about it. So I've enjoyed our time cooking at home and being able to not only just getting healthier with just what we're eating, but saving a few buckaroonies while we're at it.
Yeah, because it is a little bit.
You didn't realize how like at the time where, you know, we'd constantly go out to eat. Not in the, you know, it's not saying that's bad, but just realizing how much I would spend during the week. And if it would, even if it's something small and light and just grabbing some like quick little snack or salad, or just be like, I just spent like $34-$40 and just getting some salads and a few like side of chickens. Yeah. And like, it was eye opening to that extent too, as well. And, you know, it was good. It was a good, learning curve as far as, you know, what we, you know, call our grandmas or call our, you know, our family to be like, hey, how do you cook this Mexican rice that we normally do? We're going to do it with cauliflower rice. And, you know, and that's been really amazing to be able to like, it tastes the same. I don't taste any difference. It like brings back those memories of me growing up. That's why I was like, this is really good. We should do this more often to be able to do that. And so I think a big part of, you know, everything, you know, we talked about today, it was just, you know, stay healthy.
Yeah.
And just being overall just mental check, like you said, watch what you eat. A little workout doesn't hurt nobody.
Yeah. I mean, again, going back to like the diet stuff or even working out stuff, like do what works for you. Like
it's not going to work for everyone.
Yeah. Not, you know, every, you know, cookie cutter fad, you know, diet's going to like, you know, Atkins, low fat, like
there's a lot of trendy diets.
There's so many diets out there and not all of them are going to work specifically for you. You got to find what works for you.
Everybody's different.
Yeah. Your body reacts differently to every kind of stuff. I know my body does not like to process sugar. Like it hurts my stomach nowadays. So I try and stay away from as much as I can. You know, everybody's body is different. Just figure out what works for you. Don't, you know, listen to, you know, all these other people, like your influencers, like on Instagram, like, oh, drink this fit tea and, you know,
yeah, stuff. All that stuff.
It's like, man, you can just, experiment with your body. Like, take like 30
days. You'll find what works best for your body.
Eventually your body will be like, I feel better on this. And then, you know, you'll feel great.
All right, guys. Well, that's episode 2, guys. Thank you for tuning in. And thank you for my guest, Ray. And hopefully we'll be a regular on this this episode and this podcast in general. That'd be nice. And just being able to, you know, have him here, it's been good. But obviously safety is always for us. So
yes.
Keep your mask on, guys. And just to kind of keep you guys updated in the loop, tell us what you guys are doing to stay fit during this quarantine. You know, DM me, check out our Instagram, Talking to the Wall. We're on Apple Podcast and Spotify. Any other ones that I don't know about, please DM me, shoot me what you listen to. I don't know what that may be, but I'll do my best to get you, get our podcast on there as well. And, you know, like always, keep talking to the wall and you'll figure it out eventually, right?
Yeah, man, totally.
All right. Thanks, guys. For having me. All right. Of course. Bye-bye, guys.